What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Have you heard you can listen to your favorite news podcasts ad-free? Good news. With Amazon Music, you have access to the largest catalog of ad-free top podcasts included with your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or visit amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free and catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here. Today on the big program, lots to get to, lots to talk about. What an interesting primary day Tuesday was, especially in my state of Pennsylvania. Still not over yet. The Senate, the Republican side of the Senate race, still up in the air. And interesting how Republicans seem to be okay with mail-in ballots now. All of a sudden okay with it. Yeah, I was kind of waiting for Donald Trump to swoop in and say, no mail-in ballots. Now, as you know, it's neck and neck between Dr. Oz and the China businessman, David McCormick. They've been just, over the last several months, just beating each other senseless on that frame of, you know, Dr. Quack on one side, China businessman on the other. There were about millions of dollars wasted attacking each other. And, you know, good for them. They're tearing each other apart. They're within the margin of an automatic recount at this moment, waiting on the mail-in ballots to be completely counted. And you know what's interesting? Interesting is, you know, only a handful of the Kathy Barnett people are saying that it's being stolen from her. I was waiting for it. In fact, before the election, you know, even started, I said, going to be interesting to see which one of them claims the election was stolen, because this is what Republicans do now in the post-Trump era. Because, you know, I had someone remind me that everything Trump has ever done and has lost, he's always claimed that he's been cheated. And this is now the whiny kind of part of the party that every time is going to be, I didn't lose because I was a bad candidate. I didn't lose because I had the wrong message. I didn't lose because I ran a crummy campaign. No, I lost. I didn't lose. Stolen. Now, to be honest, the person who should have won this race should have been Kathy Barnett. And I'm going to say it. I know I'm going to get heat for it. Oh, do I know I'm going to get heat for this. But I am going to say it. I thought about it because, and I have to say it because it is true. Had she been an old white guy who looked like a thumb instead of a black woman, would have won hands down running away. Because if you look at the gubernatorial side of things, the old bald white guy who looks like a thumb walked away with it. You know, Benito Mastriano walked away. I mean, Doug Mastriano walked away with the gubernatorial race over the former Congressman Lou Barletta, who had been, you know, he had been the extreme of the Republican Party. For those who don't know Pennsylvania politics, he was one of the Tea Party guys. He was the mayor of Hazleton, did a bunch of horrible stuff to immigrants. That was his claim to fame in the Republican Party. He was able to stake his flag on, hey, I'm bad to immigrants. Granted, my family's a bunch of immigrants. And this is what sprung him to the mainstream of the party. He now clearly not crazy enough. Now, the Benito Mastriano there, he was there on January 6th. He led a bunch of busloads full of other little fascists to Washington for that day with the express purpose of stopping the steal. Remember, always remember, that was the point, stopping the certification of the election. Every other excuse, line of BS that they throw out, oh, it was a family day. Oh, it was just any other day. We were just rallying for peace and freedom. No, they were there to stop the certification of the election. Because ultimately what they wanted to do is they wanted to make sure that they didn't count the votes because they knew they lost. And they wanted the House of Representatives to end up being the deciders. In fact, Trump said it here in Pennsylvania a couple of weeks before that January 6th insurrection. They were planning this out. Mastriano was part of it. And he is now the Republican candidate for governor. He could be the governor of this state. And he said on election night, he said, look, we're going to deliver those electoral votes to the Republican. And he, how most candidates who start off on the fringe, kind of move back towards the center for the election. He's not doing that. He's staying way off on the extreme because he understands. He understands where his base is. His base believes in what Trump has laid out. They wholeheartedly believe that the election was stolen from them. Granted, all of this election, no, this one's fine. Somehow Joe Biden was able to just steal his election. Not all the other ones, not this one. It's really quite remarkable. But our Senate race is interesting in that Oz isn't really what the Republican base is. Trump endorsed him, but not really the kind. I'm surprised Trump endorsed him, and I think a lot of Republican voters were as well. Considering that Trump had to come out today and say, hey, you should have already taken the brass ring. You should have already declared victory. And that he didn't already know that. That's pretty remarkable to me. We also find out that Dr. Oz, in his late night musings, has spent a bunch of time with Fox News' Sean Hannity. I guess they're like brothers now. And it's interesting to me, again, Hannity seems to have his hands in a lot of places. Now, I did like Kathy Barnett's response to this, which was, Sean Hannity's had his hands in a lot of things, interfering in Pennsylvania politics. I don't think that's going to get her invited to the Fox News Christmas party, but kind of interesting. Now, on the Democratic side, what happened in this state? You had John Fetterman, who walked away with the Senate the Senate campaign. And for me, the message in that was simple. Embrace working class values. Embrace making the lives of working class people better. Embrace union rights. Embrace health care. Embrace education. He was strong on the legalization of marijuana. He was strong on prison reform. He was strong on working class values and issues. And guess what? Working class voters will respond. If you're authentic, if you're real, if you are the real deal. This isn't rocket science. No real surprise here. Again, none of the results that came out of Tuesday's primary in Pennsylvania were any real shocker. Everything kind of led us in the direction that it went. The message, especially coming out of this primary, is, and I think it's clear, that Democratic voters don't want and aren't going to stand for a Manchin-like candidate. They don't want Manchin-esque representation anymore. They don't want Democrat light. They want somebody who's going to stand firm on working class values, someone who's going to stand up. And in moments where you're going to have to mix it up and maybe brawl a little bit, maybe you're going to ball your digits up and throw a punch or two every now and again. That's the message in this. And look, you look in the western part of the state where Summer Lee is ahead in that race. Very progressive candidate, solid working class candidate. All of the odds stacked against her. Huge amounts of outside corporate money coming in for the moderate centrist Democrat who everybody thought was just going to steamroll over her. She's actually in the lead as we speak. That speaks volumes. And I think the Democrats, they do need to wake up to the reality that you need to stand on these working class values. Because look, the Republicans, we know who they are. We know where they're going to be. They're going to ban abortion. They're going to attack public education. They're going to deregulate guns. They're going to be in bed with corporate America, even though they are trying a pivot to saying, oh, we care about workers. Oh, we do, while simultaneously saying that we're going to make Pennsylvania a no rights at work state. Because understand and listen up, my union brothers and sisters, if you're in Pennsylvania and you're even thinking about voting for Doug Mastriano, the Republicans in this state will pass a right to work law so fast it'll make Kentucky's head spin. And Kentucky had a special session early so that they could do it. It was like 9 a.m. when they got up to do it on a Saturday. If Mastriano is governor, they'll do it faster than that. And this is that kind of, it's about the issues. And I'm hoping, and look, I like Josh Shapiro, the Democrat who is the Democratic nominee. I like him. I think he has a lot of broad base appeal. For me, one of the things that he did, he went after one of the biggest construction companies in this state and even in the country, and went after them for wage theft and employee misclassification. This is a guy who's got some bones when it comes to standing up for working people. That's who I want fighting for working people, not someone who went to our Capitol to overthrow our government. Not a bully, not someone like that. And this is going to be an interesting moment, because there is a clear choice. And I think over the next couple of weeks, as Democrats in Washington begin laying out their committee findings on what happened on January 6th, I'm hoping people are paying attention, because, well, the lure of Stop the Steal is still in the GOP's mind, not just here in Pennsylvania, but in places like North Carolina as well. The outrage machine has polluted the minds of Republican voters. And look, I listen to some right-wing radio. I'm amazed that people can tolerate it, because it is chocked full of nonsense. I listened to two old white people today talk about critical race theory and how it angers white people to hear about history, to hear about the things that happened in the past. I'm literally dumbfounded when I hear these kind of things, but yet it's what passes off. Which is why elections matter. Elections have consequences, and why everybody should be registered to vote and get out come November. Because if you're in Pennsylvania, this is a big one. Because, and I don't say this lightly, this could be your last election. Someone like Benito Mastriano, he's already told you. He's going to put his thumb on the scale. Scary stuff. Love to hear your thoughts. 1-866-416-RICK. 1-866-416-7425. Quick break. Right back after this. Fan of the show, you've heard our Labor History in Two segments, and you can hear them on the radio pretty much anywhere in the U.S. Labor history has never been more important than it is right now. So here's what we'd like you to do. Tell a teacher. Tell a teacher that labor history is important and that they can get digestible two-minute lessons that are absolutely free. Free to download, free to use, free to share. Tell a teacher to go to therickssmithshow.com/history and help us put labor back where it belongs, in the classroom. You know, generations of American workers fought, bled, and died to build the American way of life. It's our job to keep their stories alive. Go tell a teacher that we're here to help them do just that. Find us at therickssmithshow.com/history today.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, Rick Scott talking about baby formula. Oh, he's indignant. He's angry. Angry he is. Says this is just an American problem. That's it. Just an American problem. He's got pictures from all over the world of baby formula on shelves. He has them. There's baby formula on shelves in Panama. They've got baby formula on shelves in Canada. They've got baby formula in Israel. They've got baby formula in Brazil. All over the world, they've got baby formula. And there's plenty of it. And you go, yeah, there is. Do you have any clue of why we don't have it here? And I'm sure he does. This is just the latest outrage for, you know, people like Rick Scott to rile up the base and you know, point it at Joe Biden did this. And the reality is, no, Joe Biden didn't. And what liberals have grabbed on to is Donald Trump, with his changes to NAFTA, put a 17% tariff on Canadian baby formula. And that is true. He did. And that is a problem. I think a small one for me. The bigger one is there are four companies that control over 90% of the baby formula in this country. One of them being the largest one, Abbott, who has like the largest share of that, had a production facility problem that was contaminated that actually killed two kids, and they had to recall a bunch of it. You know, for me, consolidation is the much bigger problem here. The fact that four companies have that kind of control over the market, that's the bigger problem. Breaking these behemoths up, that's the answer. Having more production domestically, that's the answer. But we're going to focus on the easy stuff. You know, it's Trump's fault for the tariffs. And look, as I've said before, I'm a supporter of domestic production for domestic consumption. In this moment, we should be bringing in what we can in this emergency. But the message here for me simply is time to break these big conglomerates up, and much more local production, much more competitive production. Just my thoughts. Let's go to the phone lines. Got Kurt on line one. Kurt, how are we doing tonight?
Hey, good, Rick. How about yourself?
Can't complain. What's on your mind?
So I want to talk a little bit about Western Pennsylvania and the Summer Lee race. The group Starfish, we phone banked for Summer Lee here when the we've been in there for about 2 weeks now. And the last week of this race, I forget what day we started, but one of the organizers kind of broke down some of the precincts in the in that district 12. Are you familiar with Murrysville?
Yep.
So Murrysville is part of that district, and it's I think it's predominantly made up of a lot of the retired union working class.
A lot of steel workers. And
exactly. And one of the organizers broke down all the precincts in there, and there was on Monday, last Monday, there was, according to the, you know, to the turf and to the list, there were 6,000 votes that hadn't voted yet. And a lot of those people were holding out till election day. And when we started phone banking in there, that whole community really didn't, they didn't like the whole idea of the big money being thrown in there. And it's probably not like, you can't just say that Summer Lee's going to win because of Murrysville, but I think it made a big help for her, because I think most of those people, when I talked to them, they were pretty much like a moderate type Democrat, but they were not impressed with this. They're tired of this kind of stuff. And so it's kind of interesting how that could have been the change for Summer Lee, because going into the on Monday when we were looking at all this, she was down, and it was right about the time all the money was breaking. And so I think it says a lot about, you know, like what you were saying with the mansion types and throwing all this money in. I think people are starting to really, they're fed up with it. And, you know, they want to get back to helping the working class.
Yeah, and I would argue that, you know, some of the people that I talked to out that way as well, you know, they believed her more on the things that are going to help their family get ahead and make life better. The working class issues, they were more on her side than the other. And because
yeah.
because they believed she was more authentic. And that's the, right. the message I kept getting back. So this is where I've taken this position, that if you're authentic and you're believable and you live, if you walk the walk and talk the talk, you know, I think you're going to do better.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, it really said a lot about this, you know, this campaign. And, it was really, being from that as a kid, I grew up in Ohio, and my grandparents lived in Western Pennsylvania, and it kind of took me back to some of that time as a kid in those conversations from those people that, you know, I generally don't hear out West, because we were, you know, in Tucson, we're not really a union, you know, we're not union led. And so it's nice to hear those conversations. And I think I talked to like 200 people in that town, voters in that town, that would talk about the Blue Dog Democrats. And I haven't heard Blue Dog Democrat in a very long time. And, you know, and that's the way I remember as a kid, that's kind of how the Democrats refer to themselves. They didn't do all this left and right and moderate and, you know, progressive. That's how they referred to themselves.
Yeah. And the Blue Dogs are all gone, but so are the more moderate Republicans as well. You're right, Kurt. I appreciate the call, man, and keep up the great work. We got a lot of work to do.
Oh, it's enormous. All right.
Good stuff, brother. Appreciate it. No, I mean, yeah, the reality is on those issues that are important, and this is where, as I've been saying for the longest time, on those working class issues that I think we all can agree on, this is where candidates should be focusing, spending the mass of their time. How are you going to make the lives of working class people better? How are we going to make families better? How are we going to make health security better, retirement security better, safer jobs, better wage jobs, better opportunities, better futures? That's where we need to be. And all the other stuff, I think, will work itself out. I think all of those other issues will come around. I think that's a huge part of this. And I think that's part of why Fetterman won by such a huge margin. I think he was much more believable than, as well as, you know, I think Pennsylvania is a more progressive state than people give give credit for. I'd love to hear your thoughts, though. You can email me, rick@therickSmithShow.com, if you've got a question, comment, something on your mind. Also, if you miss any of the program, make sure you download the podcast. Always there, always available. I'm going to take a quick break right here. When we come back, I'm going to talk more about the Mastriano, Benito Mastriano, and what could possibly happen in Pennsylvania if they get a crazy governor. Look, this is important across every state in this country. You get somebody who's off the deep end, bad things happen. And not just in one state. Quick break, right back.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So Janice sent me an email during the break saying, please, Rick, tell me, please, Pennsylvania is not going to elect Oz as a U.S. senator. Please tell me that's not going to happen. She says, imagine Oz, Tommy Tuberville, and Herschel Walker leading our nation. Good Lord, please help us. I mean, that's entirely possible. I mean, and that, it's scary. It's frightening. But, you know, here's the thing. We have Lauren Boebert, Marjorie Traitor Greene. Look at who you've got in the House. The caucus of stupid. I would not be surprised. But here's worse than this. We could end up with a true fascist as governor. Oz doesn't worry me as much as Benito Mastriano worries me. That guy's true scary. And here to share some thoughts on the primary yesterday here in Pennsylvania and what it could mean for not just for us here where I live in Pennsylvania, but for the nation. I've asked my good friend J.J. Abbott to come talk with us. He's the executive director of Commonwealth Communications, their website, vote.pa. JJ, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me, Rick. Happy to be here.
So what do you think of Janice's email? Good Lord, please help us. Not please, not Tuberville, Oz, and Herschel Walker. Is that, you think that hat trick of horrible is possible?
I think this year anything is possible. And so we have to be ready. We have to be getting to work right away to make sure that we are talking to folks about the stakes of this election, because from the federal level to the governor's office, to the state house here in Pennsylvania, the stakes could not be higher. And really our freedoms, our rights that we've enjoyed for decades are on the line, and so is our future. And so, you know, I am hoping that we never have a senator from New Jersey representing Pennsylvania in the United States Senate. But more than anything, I think it's really important that we understand that if Republicans take back Congress, not only are we not going to get any of the things that we're frustrated about getting now, but they are likely to make the country and the direction of the country even worse and bottle up everything that we'd like to see in terms of progress. So, you know, the stakes are really high. And, you know, we saw a lot of Republican voters turn out and vote for Dr. Oz and these other yahoos that are running in those primaries, but you know there are a lot of people that turned out, and so we got to be ready.
Yeah, no, it really it's got to be about primaries, about turnout. But here's the thing, and this is where I think Democrats had better wake up to the reality that Republicans are going to turn out. They do understand what's at stake, and they are willing to get behind whoever the nominee is going to be. While the Senate side of things is split. And look, you know, Oz, I think, is terrible. I think McCormick was just as bad. And the two of them spent millions of dollars ripping each other apart. I think the woman that Kathy Barnett, had she been a white guy who looked a bald white guy who looked like a thumb, you know, like Benito Mastriano, I think she'd have walked away with this thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of unseemly just how much money was wasted in this primary, only to end up in a complete mess. And so, you know, I think, but the reality is that they have a lot of money, and they're going to continue to have access to resources. The right wing in this country is not underfunded. And so that's why everybody's got to lean in. If you care about democracy, if you care about our rights and freedoms, and if you care about the future of Pennsylvania and the country, you got to lean in now. You got to get involved, whether it's with a campaign or with a grassroots organization. Now is the time for all of us to lean in. And if you have resources to put into the fight, now is the time, because we have to start making clear the stakes of this election. And frankly, we have an opportunity, because what is happening at the state level is really, really concerning. And we've seen it in Pennsylvania for 2 years. We've seen the election sabotage, how they converted the big lie into the big steal, trying to take away our rights to vote and our freedom to vote here in Pennsylvania. We saw how they weaponized COVID in order to mislead and but also mobilize their supporters. And now we're seeing in the great strategy of the right wing for the last couple of decades on the heels of fruition. And that is taking away the right to choose, the right to have an abortion in this country. But I think the stakes are what we can do as folks who don't want to see these Republicans get into power. The stakes are what we can use, because we can talk to people about the real stakes that we're facing in this election. And I think refocusing on the freedoms that are at risk and the future that we all want to see that Republicans have no interest in fostering, those are the things that we need to be talking about. And I'm really reassured, because right out of the gate, the nominee, the Democratic nominee for governor in Pennsylvania, Josh Shapiro, he didn't hold back any punches. He didn't concede this idea that Republicans like Doug Mastriano can't win. He said, we're gonna work, and we're gonna fight, and we're gonna take this fight to the people of Pennsylvania and make clear to them what the stakes are. And frankly, that's really important in this moment. So I'm hoping all of us can rally and start talking to voters about the stakes of this election, because they couldn't be higher, but the contrast also couldn't be clearer. So if we have any opportunity to hammer that home, it's right now in this moment, where the freedoms that Americans assumed they would have for a very long time are suddenly seeming out of reach. And we know that it won't end with abortion. We know Republicans like Doug Mastriano are pledging in Pennsylvania to pass a right to work bill. We know here in Pennsylvania, Republicans like Doug Mastriano are trying to roll back gun safety regulations that give people the freedom to live safely in their communities. So a lot is at stake, but there is a lot that we can be talking to voters about that they care about. And frankly, what we know is the Republicans aren't going to talk about any of it. You had this primary was basically a Seinfeld episode. The Republican primary in Pennsylvania was a primary about nothing. They brought up a bunch of nonsense issues. It was a bunch of guys from out of state running against a bunch of people from Pennsylvania. But all they were talking about was whatever Trump cared about, whatever Fox News was talking about, and whatever the DC special interests were telling them that they had to talk about. They weren't talking about the issues like the rising cost of living, like how hard it is to find affordable housing. They weren't talking about those issues, the issues that are most important to the most people in Pennsylvania. No, they're talking about how they can get to ban books that they don't agree with, how they can sabotage our elections and make it easier for them to overturn them. So there's really this moment where the Republican Party is so detached from reality, but people are really suffering and people are really frustrated. So Democrats and people who do not want to see these Republicans in office, we need to lean in and we got to start organizing right now, because the one-to-one conversations that we're going to be able to have with people over the next 6 months are the best tool that we have to let people know what we stand for, what's at stake, and what we could lose if we let Republicans have unfettered power in a state like Pennsylvania.
Yeah, and look, I look at the candidates and I feel pretty good about the Democratic candidates doing well against the Republican candidates. Now, we don't know will be the Republican senatorial candidate yet, because at this point, they still haven't counted all of the mail-in ballots, right?
That's right. There are some outstanding mail-in ballots, and then once all the mail-in ballots are counted, then they will count provisional ballots. So right now in the Senate primary, there's about 2,500 votes that are separating Mehmet Oz and David McCormick. They're going to probably slug that out as best they can. There's not a ton that they can do at this point. Those votes are going to be counted. It may trigger an automatic recount in Pennsylvania. An automatic recount doesn't really take that long. It's really just a retabulation of the results that had already been counted. It seems unlikely this will go to a hand recount, which is a much smaller gap between the candidates. But it is possible. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, you know, all the votes are going to be counted. But what we're going to end up with is a Republican who has completely changed who they are to try to appease Donald Trump and appease a MAGA base that's getting more and more extreme by the day. So we're either, it sounds like Pennsylvania is either going to have a choice between a Connecticut hedge fund scammer or a New Jersey celebrity doctor scammer. But one way or the other, we're going to have to really lean in. But the good thing is we have a great candidate, John Fetterman. I know John well from my time in the Wolf administration. He's a hard worker. His team and him ran a great primary race. I mean, the fact in such a contested primary, he was able to get 60% of the vote, I think shows the prowess and seriousness of his campaign. And then in you know, for governor, we have a great candidate as well, who I think is going to inspire voters to come out. And both of them have been traveling the state. They're not ignoring our base voters places in Pennsylvania where they can pick up and cut away at the margins. And they're putting everything on the field. It's a, you know, and so I think we got to get behind these candidates. We got to run hard. And we got to make sure that we don't let, an incredibly extreme Republican Party with candidates like Doug Mastriano get more power and the ability to roll back the rights and freedoms that we've enjoyed for decades.
You're listening to the Rick Smith Show here with J.J. Abbott. He's the executive director of Commonwealth Communications. You can check out the website that they've got, vote.pa, encouraging people to register and to vote. I think that's a great cause. Here's the thing. I mean, the fact that these candidates seem to be so far off the fringe. I mean, I look at the at Mastriano, where the person who came in second place, Lou Barlotta, was the Tea Party darling of just a couple of years ago. He was the extreme of the party just a few years ago. And this guy is, well, like I said, I call him Benito Mastriano because he is that far off the beaten path. Could that be the undoing of the Republican Party, that they've gotten so extreme that there are some Republicans who go, this is too far?
Well, listen, I think what we have to do is we got to go get every vote that we can. And that means going to all the places in Pennsylvania and talking to them about the stakes of this race. But there's no doubt that Mastriano represents the modern version of the Pennsylvania Republican Party. And I think it's really important to note that Mastriano didn't come out of nowhere. He rose to this power within the Republican Party because he was enabled by the very Republicans who have tried to stop him over the last few weeks as he threatened their power. When the state was going through an incredibly difficult time with COVID, Doug Mastriano led the charge to try to roll back public health protections and to mislead his constituents about vaccines and masks and the kinds of things that we could do to try to keep each other safe. And then as soon as the election happened and they lost and Donald Trump lost, Doug Mastriano shifted his entire ethos to be an election saboteur and to try to overturn the election, ultimately ending up on the Capitol lawn during the January 6th insurrection. But he didn't do that alone. His infamous hearing at Gettysburg was hosted by the Senate Republican Caucus in Harrisburg. The things that he was doing in the election were being echoed by Republican leaders. The same letter that he signed asking Congress to overturn our election on January 6th, that letter was signed by over 100 Republicans in Pennsylvania. So this idea, I think, is Mastriano's extreme persona certainly has the ability to turn people off. But his positions, they're the positions of the Pennsylvania Republican Party. And there was a great story today by Andrew Seidman in the Philadelphia Inquirer that talked just about this. They're not criticizing Mastriano for his positions. They're not saying banning abortion at conception with no exceptions, that's too extreme. They're not saying that. Trying to bust unions and pass a right to work bill, that's not what they're saying is too extreme. What they're saying is too extreme is his statements, his rhetoric, and that they don't think that he can win the election. There was a Republican pundit on CNN just last night from Pennsylvania who was saying, well, you know, I think Doug Mastriano is too extreme. He went to January 6th, but maybe he'll tack to the center. And I hope so, because ultimately I want him to win. And so I think we should not rest for a second that the Republican Party will not embrace Doug Mastriano in some way. We have to work hard. And frankly, we have to hold accountable everyone who enabled people like Doug Mastriano to cause the kind of chaos and division and just outright, just nonsense in our elections and in our public policy debates here in Pennsylvania. And so we got to go all in, and we cannot rest for a second and think that someone like Doug Mastriano can't win. Because let me tell you, they used to say this about another guy. We got to take him literally, and we got to take him seriously, because he literally wants to do the things that he says he wants to do, and he is seriously committed to getting the power to do it. He has a grassroots operation that is unparalleled in the Republican Party in Pennsylvania. And he absolutely smoked his competition when they were spending tens of millions of dollars for themselves and to oppose him. And so we have to take him seriously. I know from what we've heard already from the Shapiro campaign that they're taking him seriously, that they're not going to take their foot off the gas. And so we all have to do the same thing. And so the stakes, as I said, could not be higher for our democracy, for our rights, for our freedoms, and for the way of life here in Pennsylvania. And so we all got to get in, and we have to fight back, because at the end of the day, I think we're going to see consolidation. They'll find every excuse they can to forgive Mastriano's past misdeeds and embrace him, because at the end of the day, what they care about is power, yeah. Their ability to enact their agenda. And more than anything now, the ability to control our elections, which the governor of Pennsylvania will appoint the secretary of state for 2024. So if we don't want somebody like Mike Lindell or General Mike Flynn as the secretary of state for Pennsylvania, we all better get out there and work and make sure that we elect Josh Shapiro and defeat Doug Mastriano at the ballot box.
There you go. Simple stuff. This isn't rocket science. JJ, I appreciate the time. Great work. I hope you'll come back. I know this is going to continue. We'll have you back here to talk about this as it continues. Appreciate the time, man.
Thanks so much, Rick. Have a good one.
Great stuff, JJ Abbott. Make sure you check out their website, vote.pa. He's the executive director of Commonwealth Communications. Love to hear your thoughts. 1-866-416-RICK. 1-866-416-7425. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Stop the talk. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1972. That was the day that Maggie Kuhn stood before a group of reporters to tell them about her organization, the Gray Panthers. The idea for the group had started 2 years earlier. 65-year-old Maggie had received the unwelcome news that she was going to be forced to retire from her executive position with the United Presbyterian Church. Maggie was not ready to retire. Instead, she started to organize. This was during the era of the Vietnam War protests, and Maggie found allies with young people who also wanted to see changes in society. The original group developed to build connections between young and old. They called themselves the Consultation of Older and Younger Adults for Social Change. Later, they shifted their name to the catchier Gray Panthers. The Panthers adopted the motto, Age and Youth in Action. In 1975, the Panthers held their first national convention in Chicago. 200 Panthers attended, representing 37 states. At the convention, the Panthers adopted a platform of issues. They included issues important to seniors, such as an end to mandatory retirement, better housing for the elderly, and expansions to rent control. But the platform also included other social justice issues, including support for the Equal Rights Amendment, a call for full employment, amnesty for Vietnam draft resistors, and even, after much debate, the legalization of marijuana. In the more than 40 years since their founding, the Gray Panthers have continued to advocate for a variety of issues. One key achievement was a court victory to make Medicare regulations more understandable to seniors, and they were years ahead of the nation by supporting single-payer health care for all. Labor History in 2 brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
So I couldn't believe this when I saw it. Evidently, Sarah Palin, who's running for Congress, she made $211,529 from doing cameo videos. That's over 37 grand more than she'd make in Congress if she wins. I have no idea why she would ever leave that gig. I can't imagine who in their right mind would want a message, would pay for a message from her. I just, man, mind-blowing. But hey, you know, what's that saying about a fool and their money? There it is. Let's go to the phones. Got Alice on line one. Alice, how are we doing today?
Oh, we're hanging in there. How about yourself?
Living the dream. What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to say, we've been, of course, paying attention to the news reports about the Pennsylvania, you know, election results. And my husband and I have been laughing. Well, especially my husband. And he was saying, because they were, Mastriano on the news tonight was saying, well, you know, not all of the ballots are, mail-in ballots are counted yet. And my husband started saying to the television screen, I thought they were illegal. Isn't that what you said? And he was, and I told my husband, well, somebody will bring that up. And then I seen that Donald Trump was complaining because Oz, Dr. Oz, the quack, wasn't, you know, the declared winner yet, and he wanted to stop counting the alien ballots because he's claiming it's illegal and they're going to switch them. But it's a regular circus here in Pennsylvania, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, this is, you can't have it both ways. You can't say, you know, this is all bad, mail-in ballots are illegal and unconstitutional, and then go, oh, we're going to wait for the mail-in ballots.
I know. I thought, make up your mind. Yeah. Or is it mail-in ballots are only good if it's Republicans doing it?
I think you found the caveat. Yeah, I think you found it.
I do too. Well, you have a good evening, Rick.
Thanks so much, Alice. Appreciate it. No, I mean, this is, you know, not surprising. And look, it was entirely predictable in 2020 what was going to happen. In fact, you know, I had predicted it months before it happened because you could see it coming. Democrats were much more cautious about the virus. They were, you know, much more willing to go, hey, you know what, I'm going to stay away from the polls. We'll mail in our ballots. Pennsylvania law is what it is. You can't start counting until the day of, and you're not going to count millions of ballots, you know, in a couple of hours. It's going to take time. And you knew that the night of the election, Trump was going to have a huge lead. And as the days went on, that lead would dwindle. You knew that. It didn't take rocket scientists to figure that out. You need to be a genius. And you know, Trump even knew, which is why they spun it the way they did. Because he also knew he was going to lose. Because I think everyone kind of did. The economy was in the tank. The pandemic was handled poorly. People were tired of him and his nonsense. It was time for him to go. So they had to create this. I didn't lose. It was stolen from me. It's crazy. I mean, it just is what it is. And now you look at this formula gate. Oh, my goodness. Rick Scott's got pictures of baby formula all over the world. And good on the president for finally, coming out and using the Defense Production Act to get more production of baby formula and forcing these companies to ramp up production and forcing them to get the stuff that they need to do more. But I still keep coming back to, you know what? We need to start breaking some of these up. Some of these big companies we need to be breaking up and making them much more competitive and much more regional. Now, evidently, this Abbott Nutrition, one of their largest plants in Sturgis, Michigan, the one that has had the contamination issue, they are in negotiations to reopen. Evidently, they have to revamp some of their safety protocols, some of their procedures. They've got to do some ramping up so that, maybe we don't kill some more kids. Probably not a bad idea. This is one of those moments where regulations matter. Now, I'm surprised I haven't heard Republicans yet, and I'm sure it's coming, say, see, it's these regulations, these onerous regulations that are stopping formula from getting to our children. Now, I don't think they're going to do that because there are a couple of kids that died. I don't really think they're going to want contaminated formula on the shelves. Do you? Do you think that's going to happen? No, it's easier to point at Joe Biden and say it's his fault that it's not there. Instead of the reality, it's these big corporations. Just like the inflation, just like the skyrocketing fuel prices, just like the skyrocketing food prices. It's not Joe Biden's fault. He didn't do this. It's corporate America's fault. And we need to remember that. And we need to keep saying it over and over and over until it finally sinks in. It's corporate America's fault. They did this. They need to be held responsible, Congress. Do something. That simple. At least that's my thought.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.